Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Money! Money, 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 money. Money can be one of the most persuasive things in a person's life. We all need it. But it can also become a god. For many on Wall Street, it is. Think about it. There are television channels and quasi-news programs that talk about just one thing, about what the market's doing. Is it going up or is it going down? And then they're going to tell you the reasons why it's going one direction or another. The good old money. It's like it sits on your shoulder, whispering in your ear, telling you how to make more or how to spend it. Oh, look at old money. It creates quite a commotion in a person's life because it's there, whispering in your ear all the time, and you listen to it like it's the only God you worship. And how do I know? Well, look how many people are held in such high esteem who have all kinds of money. They're praised for it. They are scorned for it. And then we wouldn't mind being in that situation either, regardless of whether we're being praised or scorned for our money. But again, the driver behind all of this here, well, it's money. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. And that leads us to perhaps one of the most interesting parables that Jesus shares with us, and we have it here this morning. It's about money and what it causes people to do. Jesus puts it this way. He says, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called to him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. The manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. Well, the rich man, he's got lots of possessions there, and there's this manager there who's wasting his possessions. In other words, he's losing money. That's what's happening there, and so he gets called out for that. And so the rich man calls him in, and he knows that something's been going on, and he's like, you need to bring in the books to me because you're fired. That's what's happening. So what does the manager do? Well, he goes back home, most likely, away from the presence of his boss there, the rich man, and he begins to think, what am I going to do? He's like, I'm not strong enough to dig. I've been behind a desk too long. I'm too ashamed to beg. I'm not going to go out there and ask people for money. Well, why is he thinking that way? Well, think of it in these terms. Back in the day, they didn't have Social Security. There's no unemployment checks. So if you're out of a job, you're on the streets, and that's it. So he's got to come up with something. So, what does the fired manager plan to do? Well, he cooks up some kind of scheme so that when the time comes, people are going to welcome him into their homes. So he calls in those who owe the rich man, the debtors. So the first one comes in and he's like, well, what do you owe? And he goes, well, I owe 100 measures of oil. And he goes, here, take the bill, sit down, write 50. Okay, so he writes in 50. The next guy comes in and he goes, what do you owe? And he goes, well, I owe 100 measures of wheat. And he goes, here's the bill. Sit down, write down 80. Okay, now what does that mean? Think of it in these terms here. Though the two numbers are different, you know, one's being reduced to 50 and the other's being reduced to 80, what that amounts to is 18 months worth of wages. How would you like to have 18 months worth of wages just wiped away? Instead of it going to the rich man's pocket, you keep it in your own. You're going to start thinking, what? This is a good deal. All right, I can do that. You'd be appreciative of it. You'd be appreciative of the manager who's instructing you to do this too, wouldn't you? Well, sure you would. So now comes the time here for the manager to bring in the books. He hands them over to the rich man. And what does the rich man notice? He notices that things have changed. The bills have been changed. So consider the situation here. The manager was fired. Who knew he was fired? Only the rich man and himself. Sure, people were telling on him and all that stuff, but they didn't know anything just yet, because the manager went out and changed things before work got out. Now, what are the people who owe the rich man money going to think? Well, the manager has just reduced their bill by 18 months' worth of wages. Why? They're going to think here that the rich man is being very generous with them. Are they not? They don't know the circumstances. The manager works for the guy. So if the manager's doing this, must be okay. So they're thinking good thoughts then about the rich man. And besides that, did the manager change the bill? The people who owed the debt were the ones who wrote it down. So the manager kind of keeps himself out of the loop. So the manager here has just involved the people then in a situation in which the rich man is going to appear to be very generous. Now, it would be very difficult then, would it not, for the rich man to come back and say, oh, hey, wait a minute, you can't do that. I fired this guy. You need to put the bill back where it was. The people are going to think very ill of the rich man if he were to do that. But right now, what are they doing? Well, they're getting on Facebook saying, this guy just reduced my bill by 18 months. Isn't that incredible? This guy is so fantastic. So consequently, the rich man commends the shrewd manager. Now, just because he commends him for that doesn't mean that he's accepting of it, that he really pleases him. No. He just commends him for his shrewdness. But what else does it do, though? It also shows that the rich man is being very generous towards the manager. Now, after telling this parable here, Jesus adds a little bit of commentary to this as well. And he gives a directive here to the believers. He says, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." Well, Jesus is directing this to us. He's like, the sons of light there, the good people here, well, they're not going to think of cheating the rich man out. That's just not going to be on their radar screen. People who deal with this money issue kind of thing all the time and who don't believe, well, yeah, they're going to think of these kinds of terms and kind of pull off these kinds of schemes. But not so you. But rather, he says, you, the sons of light, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, meaning money, so that when your money fails, and it will fail, that they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. Do you get it? Maybe not. What Jesus is saying here is this: use your money to spread the gospel. Help spread the word about Jesus so that others might come to faith. And so when your money fails, and when you run out of money, and when you go and see your maker, you, believer that you are in Jesus, will be welcomed in then to the heavenly dwellings. Plus, there's going to be this added benefit. For all those that you used your money with to help share the gospel, they're going to welcome you there into the eternal dwellings as well. This is all for helping spread the gospel. See, that's really kind of quite different perspective than how most folks view money. And this is why Jesus continues. He says, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If you then have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now here's what might put ourselves in a quandary. What if we have not used what God has given us to serve his kingdom? And what if we have not been faithful with that either? Now remember, parables here tell us about what the kingdom of God is like. Who in this is the rich man? God is the rich man. It is his kingdom. It is the rich man who is generous. It is God who is generous. It is God who gives out then to his possessions there for others then to use. So who is the manager? We are the managers. Yes, perhaps you have lots of money. Perhaps you may, maybe not. Maybe you were faithful with it. Maybe you were not. Maybe your money is gone, squandered, invested poorly. And when you, who have faith in Jesus, go before the Father in heaven, what will happen? The generous Father will welcome you into his kingdom. Think about that. God is going to welcome you into his heavenly kingdom. So why is it then that the Father can be so generous regardless of what's in your bank account? The Father is so generous because Jesus took the things that you did, the poor things, away from you. He died for all the poor decisions, the sins, the law-breaking, and earned forgiveness of sins for you. Forgiveness is the biggest sign that tells us how generous our God truly is. And what is the proof that he's truly generous? You get to go to heaven. There the family of God will welcome you. And so now all of this then, what, gives us something to ponder now, doesn't it? What should I do now? First of all, don't worry about your past. Start afresh today. Doesn't matter what happened in the past. Maybe you're thinking now, it's like, oh, I haven't done all that well with what God has given to me. So what? It's done today. You start afresh. It's amazing. It's amazing what God can do. Because he's given you things to use, your time, your talent, and your treasures. Why? So that you can put it to use. And so when you give that, your tithes, offerings, and service to the church, what can happen? Well, right now the church can pay all of its bills, but if we want to expand ministry and continuing what we do right now, we're not going to have enough. We can't. But the good news is there's hope. You have the unrighteous wealth within your grasp, and you have a generous God. Respond to that generosity and watch what God can do with it. You see, whether you have a lot or a little, it doesn't matter. What matters is the relationship that you have right now with God. That's the most important thing. Because in turn, he's going to take that relationship that you have, and as you share the good news with others, that's when the kingdom of God grows. Because seeds are planted. Faith is being watered on another person, and that person comes to faith. And so what happens then when we are gathered unto God and given an account for what we have? Well, he's going to look at us, we who have faith in Jesus, and welcome us by saying what? Well done, good and faithful steward. That's what awaits us. And then when you get there, then all those with whom you've helped share the good news right here at church, regardless of what that's been, they're going to welcome you too into the eternal dwellings. Why? Because we have a God who is amazingly generous through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.